Sorry, staring into your eyes. It's too strange.
Your face looks backwards.
Yeah.
So do you know what's gonna happen? You done all this already? As me?
I don't want to talk about time travel. Because if we start talking about it, then we're going to be here all day talking about it, making diagrams with straws.
We both know how this has to go down. I can't let you walk away from this diner alive. This is my life now. I earned it. You had yours already. So why don't you do what old men do and die?
Why don't you just take your little gun out between your legs and do it? Boy.
Welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Douglas.
You can try better. You can try better than that. I don't think they heard you.
How dare you? Who are you?
What's your name? I didn't hear you.
Hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. That is Andrew. I am Damian.
And I am a golden god!
Alright, and this podcast is over.
That TV show isn't very good.
What TV show is that?
Cameron Crowe made a TV show. Guess what it's about?
Music people.
It's about it's weird, almost God. Famous the TV show. Right. That's what it is.
It is not almost famous TV show.
It's a show called Roadies about roadies. How is that not almost famous?
I've been watching Maria Bamford's.
I wanted to start
that Dynamite. I really like that show. I need to continue it. I watched the first episode and it was great.
God, I love my Maria Bamford.
Yeah.
The truth of the matter is that I don't have much of a relationship with Maria Bamford. The one thing I did see, she had a special which went up where she's doing it to her parents.
Yep, mm-hmm. In her living room.
And I think I watched like around 10 minutes of that and shut it off. I think I just couldn't do it.
There's tears coming out of my eyes watching that special.
But she actually, you know, she's you the know best. Where you know her, but maybe you might not connect it. Mm-hmm. Is she was in the latest season of Arrested Development?
No, yeah,
as a Fantastic Four lady.
I know her. Like if I see her, I know her name. I know her thing, like comedic wise, mm-hmm. and I've seen her in lots of TV shows here and there. But.
Is it sad that Bobcat Goldthwait? I thought she sounded like that all the time, that little high pitched, very airy or breathy sort of voice. Mm-hmm. And then she started talking in the first episode, like from day one, mm-hmm. you heard this voiceover, and I'm like, who is that person? Is that supposed to? And yes, it was. She can.
And then you're like weird.
1999.
Oh wow! I have not.
Comedy Central Presents had her on one of the shows, and I saw her and immediately like that was one of the first. Like it's she's one of the few people I think I might fanboy over if I actually met, because like the second she went up there and I heard and she did the thing with the voices, like her whole thing, I'm like, yeah, and. I don't buy a lot of comedy albums. I think I own all of hers. Because. She's what Run the Jewels is now.
I should get into that. Is it sad that it's weird for me like to listen to a comedy album?
It's like a podcast.
Exactly. It's like a podcast. But I only listen to podcasts in the car for mm-hmm. the 2 minutes that I'm driving. So I don't have enough time to do that.
Right.
But
you're busy.
But. If I can sit down and watch somebody stand up and not move and mm-hmm. tell comedy for an hour and a half, that's fine. But just turn off
the audio.
That picture. Give me the audio and I'm like, why am I here?
You know what my favorite feature of Ubuntu still is? The ability to extract MP3s out of videos in the shell. Terminal. Jeff Nichols said, Damian, you know how you like Mud? And I went, not really. You know how you like that other movie?
Shotgun Stories?
Not really. You know that one movie that you love though?
Take Shelter?
Yeah! Take Shelter. We take the main guy. He was in Superman and
then you give him Shelter again?
and we give him something weird to know. Like, alright, cool.
So this movie is Midnight Special. That Damien is trying to have fun naming without naming.
What do you know about Altenmeyer?
Give it fits.
Things would break. Cars would shut down, that kind of thing.
Others have described seeing things. Did he show you things?
Yes.
What kinds of things?
I wouldn't know where to start.
We need to know where he is.
You have no clue what you're dealing with, do you?
The movie, I must say, I think that might be the thing that irks me most about this movie.
It sounds like such a bad name. It sounds like a service you get when you go to a CD massage parlor.
It sounds like
an
80s movie about one crazy night. That's this movie. It does not fit.
So this movie is about a I see how long this lasts without the internet. This movie is about Michael Shannon, who has
ghosts.
Who, along with his friend, played by Joel Edgerton, has taken his son from a cult of some sort. And he is driving him to a location, saying it's where he needs to go. It's where he believes he'll be safe.
When the brothers put out this movie, which was scary. Like, when I saw the logo come, I'm like, wait, what? Jeff Nichols movie. They're like, alright, listen, you're going to make your shitty whatever the hell movie it is, and then you're going to direct whatever bitch bullshit movie. Here's your
Michael
money.
Michael Shannon got it done. He said, if you want my body for Justice League, you have to give us the money for this. And we discovered that Shannon's son has some sort of affliction.
IBMitis.
as they spend their evenings driving with no headlights on and some Splinter Cell goggles.
To be fair, that has nothing to do with his affliction. That is just them being like Batman.
I know. In the dark of
the
night.
Show. Sounds like the worst. We've done a horrendous job.
Or have we? Is it just that bad?
So, okay, let's talk about this movie.
Right. Take Shelter. This movie is incredible.
Hold on. I just realized something. Is it just me, or is this movie fairly similar to another movie that came out in, let's say, the 90s, starring Bruce Willis and some child actor by the name of Mercury Rising?
I don't think I ever saw all of that movie.
I didn't watch Mercury Rising.
You didn't watch that movie? Okay, you're not missing much. Yeah. It's a
figured.
Movie where Bruce Willis takes an autistic young boy who has been able to somehow decrypt government secrets
across
the country.
Jeff Nichols, you're a thief. No props for you.
So, where do I start?
so there's like a cult. Doesn't have very good things to say.
There's a cult, and then there's a road trip, and then there's a boy with special powers.
Is it sad that you look at them and, for some reason, once I see those ponytails, I'm like, yep, I know who you are.
No, it's the sack dresses. It's the full dress that you're like,
that is profiling. Profiling is wrong, unless you're right.
If you're right, then we're okay with it.
No, if you're right, then it's just intuition.
So yeah, this movie, Jeff Nichols does an interesting thing by taking from a bunch of 80s and 70s science fiction movies and taking our obsession, even though I don't want to say that he was directly pointing at this, because I think that it's such a tiny element of it that it's not really the forefront of your mind of superhero movies, and making this small tiny story about a man trying to make his son be safe, right? In whatever way he can. The two movies that everyone has talked about as it relates to this movie, and I at first I was thinking it's just the way people talk about homages in movies, where they just feel like they want to talk about those movies because they love those movies so much, and there's like one tiny element that kind of you fixate on. But now, having seen Midnight Special, I think they're all so right about talking about these two movies, and that's Spielberg's Close Encounters of the Third Kind, as well as John Carpenter's Starman, which I saw for the first time like a few months ago.
Have you seen that movie?
I've seen bits and pieces. Okay. I haven't really watched it.
I don't like that movie that much.
All right, cool. All right.
But
I thought we're about to have a fight.
No, but a movie, like, you can see the fingerprints on here of what Nichols was focusing on. And I kind of like how the movie switches over from those two throughout the story, because as the movie starts up, we just get like the bare bones understanding of what's going on. We see that there's a cult. We see that there's Michael Shannon with a child. The FBI show up, and there's an Amber Alert for this child. You can see that the cult worship this child pretty much. And it just became this thing where we're like, oh, there's just a shit show going on, and Michael Shannon is just doing his best. But then you see the way you meet Shannon and talk and hear Shannon talk about what he's doing. It's not just about him getting him away from that, but it's also him believing with no fathomable reason that this is what he needs to do. He needs to go there, right, in order to get it. And so much of it hinges on you buying into the fact that it's not just a safety thing. It's not just a father-son instinct, a paternal instinct. It's more religious. It's more internal. And earlier this year, I rewatched Close Encounters, and that was the thing that, I mean, once again, didn't love that movie that much rewatching it. But that was the thing that I found really interesting. This idea of something entering your mind, your being, to the point at which you're willing to go through roadblocks and military guard and all of these hinges to be like, I believe I need to be over there to know what's happening. And then halfway through this movie, it just switches over into Starman mode, of having the child figure out why he needs to be there. And then he starts to control that whole direction with a lot more, certainty, with him being like, it is there. And it becomes like Starman in that he becomes someone who has the ability to just turn on things and get things out of the way, and he can read minds and all sorts of things going on. And so much of this movie feels weirdly lackadaisical if you're trying to think of it in the way that we talk about a lot of other science fiction or action, not so much action movies, but some of these movies where when we don't like them, we start to point to all of the plot holes and all of the weird, dumb things that they put in there. But at the same time, something about the way Jeff Nichols kind of streams it together from piece to piece. Maybe it's because of things like the paternal element or the curiosity of Kylo Ren being the guy who's trying to find them. Just like the scientist in Starman or... why can't I remember his name right now? Truffaut's character in Close Encounters, who is just trying to be the guy behind the science working for the government. When all of these things just kind of streamline together into the 2 hours that this movie is, there was no point where I actively went, I dislike what I'm watching. Like, I enjoyed the ride. I enjoyed the feeling. And the only thing that disappoints me more is that I didn't have the time to watch this movie a second time before we sat down here tonight, because I was like, I want to watch this movie again to kind of get a better grip on what it is I truly love about this movie.
But instead you watch England play football.
Because right now, I feel like Michael Shannon at the beginning of the movie, who's like, I have this feeling inside of me that I instinctively love this movie, but I can't quite describe it perfectly.
Am I the only one that's thinking about James Brown songs
right now? Please.
Stop it. It's a professional podcast.
So yeah, I mean, that's where I wanted to start us off. I wanted to start us off talking about the whole idea of these mishmashed... this almost mashup of movies presented to us in a sleek Jeff Nichols.
With a Jeff a heavy coating of Jeff Nichols on top of it.
Right.
Yep.
Threw these two movies in a blender and said, Michael Shannon, smooth over all of this nonsense.
And let's not talk about Superman comics being in the movie.
But it's not real. It's not real. Don't put that in his head. So I remember
those days when hell was your home.
I remember being really happy watching this movie when I realized, oh, look, it's Adam Driver. I really like Adam Driver.
You're a sad man.
You've come a long way.
I remember being real sad when I realized, oh, look, there's not much Adam Sadler.
There actually isn't much Adam Sadler in this movie.
And he makes him sad.
Yeah.
He loves the Sandman.
This movie is just... It's one of those movies where you sit down and you watch it, and you can watch it all the way through without getting upset at it, but also you don't necessarily feel much more than not being upset at it. It moves you from the beginning to end, and you're just kind of like, eh. I did kind of enjoy the back end of it when the 5-year-old became a badass and was like, I want to talk to Adam Driver. Give me Kylo Ren. And when Kylo Ren is like, where do we go? I will take you there. And he would just, you know, open, as you said, open doors and say, that way there are less officers, you know. It was kind of cool to have somebody kind of be like that, that sort of self-assured and heroic almost person. Not even heroic, but just the strong lead that just nonchalantly gets from point A to point B, and that was kind of cool. But outside of that, this movie was another bunch of lights that were flashing in front of my face, and that didn't really it was just so ordinary, and that I kind of hate movies like that, because
there's nothing to hate and there's nothing to love.
Yeah, and you just sit down there, you finish, and you're just like, okay, I sat down for an hour and a half.
This was a thing.
I'm not sure why I did it, but okay.
Arms folded.
Yeah, the arms were folded for this one. I mean, I wouldn't go as far as to say I hated this movie. There's nothing to hate. But it does, by having nothing to hate, it does kind of go into the region of movies I generally hate. But it just, I mean, I almost just don't want to talk about it.
This is a Venn diagram, and it's a one circle, and just says me at the top.
Yep. This is definitely well inside the mess.
I do not agree with you. The parts of this movie that are sci-fi are the parts I do not like. I don't like any. The glowing eyes, the explosions, the him talking, 5-year-olds talking to people, and bringing down satellites.
He brought down a satellite.
It's stupid. That is the part of the movie where whenever it happens, I go, if you were less explicit about this, if it were like Take Shelter where there was some ambiguity, if you thought, maybe this is in these guys' heads, like they've been in this cult so long that they actually believe this, but there's a chance none of this is actually happening, I'd have preferred that. But making it overt was disappointing, because it's not a sci-fi movie. He thinks it is. By peppering in some sci-fi
this is
shit.
Essentially Star Wars Episode 8.
I mean, Is he directing episode 8?
No. Okay, Ryan Johnson is.
Of course.
But
of course
this fellow turns into a Jedi.
Sure. Right, and Star Wars is dumb, so I didn't like the Star Wars parts of the movie. The part where they're taking this child across country and watching Michael Shannon do Michael Shannon things with his face and not talking. Like, there's a lot of not talking in this movie, and it is impressive that a movie can go on for this long and not feel boring or feel lacking or confusing in any way, despite the fact that there's not a lot of exposition. There's no body that comes out and say, you are my wife and I'm your husband, so there's none of that. You find out the information. It's like you get a window, you're like, crazy shit is happening and we need to move this child. And over the course of that, you find out some of the backstory. Not all of the backstory, because no one would ever say that in an actual story. But then it ends. There's a lot of sci-fi towards the end. And that is where I went, I guess if you're going to have a child that is phasing from one dimension to another. But what a better movie that is like this, kind of, came out this year is 10 Cloverfield Lane, where there's some sci-fi thing happening, but the bulk of the movie is spent not focusing on it.
Be careful how you assume what we know about that movie.
Right.
Damian.
Right. But even if you don't know anything, it doesn't become a problem until the very end.
Yeah.
And then it is either a massive problem. And for you people, I suggest the Damian cut of this movie. Or it is the greatest icing on the cake that you can imagine. And I felt like, I didn't feel like it was a bait and switch, because throughout the movie you saw glimpses of what was to come. But at the very end, it didn't, like, the payoff didn't really feel like a payoff. And I'd have preferred spending more time with
Michael. It felt Michael. Like a $5 midnight special.
Right. It felt, $50 midnight special. Right. Not a full midnight special. Yeah. Right.
You went to the shack in the corner as opposed to you need to go to the established joint. Okay?
I should.
Yeah.
The greedy.
Yeah,
midnight special.
They have plush.
I'm afraid of you guys.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No. Oh no.
Yes. No. It took this long.
Like, all right. If we could divvy up this movie, there's no way to Damian cut this movie. But if I were to divvy it up, I'd say about 85% of this movie is like a solid A. Then there's the Star Wars bits, which is like a super F.
Mm-hmm.
And
I actually liked a lot of the science fiction stuff. There were times where they definitely took leaps,
mm-hmm.
Especially like as it switched to Starman mode. Like you're like, oh, I didn't know that could happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I liked mostly about the fact that all of it, kind of like what you were saying about Shannon and his thing, like most of it, they just showed it to us. They didn't have people go like, oh yes, the science works because he can now move
right.
buildings. like things like Lucy or whatever, where when it makes this leap,
Jesus.
They have to like talk it all out, as opposed to it just happening in front of us, and we at that point, you're either accepting it or you're not. Right?
Boy, Luc Besson, never mind. It's not good.
I had to bring Lucy back in the conversation.
Let's not rehash.
I think he has a new movie coming up.
Of course he does. He's Luc Besson. I'd give him money to make more movies.
Would you give him money to make a Lucy 2?
Sure. Just, all right, you.
Lucy and Linus.
If
the,
you think
the
about
extra.
Him, Lucy was three quarters of a movie.
Wow.
The extra chord.
Charlie Brown joke. 2016.
We had a Charlie Brown movie last year.
Yeah, which 13 people went to watch.
I like that movie.
Good. 12 more people
like
did.
Charlie Brown movies. I like that one.
You're a bad
What if
person.
It was a science fiction Charlie Brown movie?
Sci-fi Charlie Brown?
Fuck that movie.
So yeah, Douglas sounds negative to me. On this movie.
He's just okay. Like, yeah, and there's parts of the movie that I don't like, but I would recommend people watch it anyway. In the off chance that you like all of what you see.
I think it started out fairly promising, but it kind of just meandered a little while. And then it got a little bit sort of, I guess, after my mind turned off, then my mind was able to enjoy the stupid jokes of, you know, these are not the droids that you're looking for. And then I kind of didn't like the end where he kind of, as you said, phased into this world business.
Another movie that does a lot of what this movie does is Monsters. Where,
I haven't watched that movie in a long time. Oh god,
it's so good. Where they're like, yeah, there's crazy monsters. And you have to go through this place with the crazy monsters.
I'm I'm here thinking to myself,
Charlize Theron is science fiction.
I was thinking of, why are you talking about a Pixar movie? but then I know word. And I do,
Mike Wazowski.
I did watch that movie and I did really enjoy it's that so movie. Good. Yeah.
Right, because but you're like, just oh, there's monsters in this movie.
Yeah.
And
did you know, by the way, that they've made sequels to that movie?
Yep.
Yeah. They made a sequel.
Oh my goodness.
Not touching it to that.
Oh my goodness.
Damon, is it okay if I just rewatch Godzilla repeatedly and just ignore monsters?
No.
Not because monsters is bad. But because Godzilla is that is perfect.
Like, bad. Godzilla is
the worst.
It is popcorn movies at its finest. But Monsters is a better overall movie because there's a movie there. Godzilla is waiting to watch Godzilla. He's just waiting for Godzilla is what that movie is. And you just start it. Like, when those trailers hit, I'm like, I think they might be making a serious Godzilla movie with, like, the military. And then they did. I've watched Godzilla a lot. Every time that movie is played, there's just a smile just pegged on my face.
A joke, a smile, you just
cut
it off.
Just this. Just staring at it like, he did it. He made it.
And his reward is a Star Wars movie.
Yeah. And he made it so goodly that they said, alright, let's punish Damien.
Seriously. Yep, you said that last night.
You know what really sucks, though?
What?
Everything.
Come on, guy. You can't say you didn't see this coming.
What?
What did you think these were?
Kisses? Seven little kisses?
Seven deadly X's. X's. X's.
Oh, why does everything have to be so complicated?
If you want something bad, you have to fight for it. Step up your game, Scott. Break out the L word.
Lesbian?
The other L word.
Lesbians?
It's love, Scott. I wasn't trying to trick you. Hey, buddy, look. If she really is the girl of your dreams, then you have to let her know. You have to overcome any and all obstacles that lie in your path. You can do it. Be with her. It's your destiny. Plus, I need you to move out.
What?
Yeah, I'm kind of banking on her calling you back, so I don't have to evict you.
I think the reason I like the Warcraft movie, though, is because in the back of my mind, I know who the rest is. I think that might have something to do with it.
It has to.
I sat down depressed.
Because actually, you said that movie is the type of movie that I hate because it's just fucking boring. It's just
empty.
Yeah, it's nothing. Not bad. I know it's not nothing. A bad movie. Like, the people who are coming out.
Although
I'm not a Warcraft fan, so maybe the people who are coming out hating it justified in doing that.
I was supposed to ask you guys about this.
I don't care about
right?
that, but boy.
I looked at it, and Warcraft took in like around 10 million in the US on the opening weekend or something like that.
But it made like
900 million in China.
In China.
Can we make a provision so that I can get the Chinese money for this movie?
No.
Because they're running Warcraft servers in China.
Of course they are.
Like, oh,
I don't get. I mean, sorry. I understand the internet is still the internet, so of course.
I can't see right
video
now,
game,
so it's not the internet.
Of course,
right
a video game movie would of course set the internet on fire, but
Yoga Fire.
There was You're an idiot. When, like, people were talking about the movie, like the Street Fighter movies, like The Legend of Chun Li, like, it was an abomination that human eyes should not ever see. And I saw, and that too might be playing into why, because I expected just the hottest garbage. But the trailers, like, when I saw the trailers, I'm like, this looks dumb. But the effects actually look...
Yeah, the effects were really good looking.
I mean, I understand that, of course, it is because it is because of the studio behind the effects. But it looks incredible.
I think there's some of the, for some, the most part. Some of the characters kind of look dumb. But
yeah,
in terms
but that's
of...
Not especially, that's not ILM's fault.
Especially that's, the magic stuff.
That's Blizzard's fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the magic stuff and the... I remember being particularly impressed by the teleportation.
Yeah.
That was thing, on point.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
The cube thing at the end.
All of the technical things, they're great.
Mm-hmm.
Stories empty.
You saw where it said Warcraft when the movie started? You expected some fantastic story from a video game property?
Listen.
What's the best video game story you can think
of? We're going to talk about this in a minute.
The Last of Us. Video games have told one good story.
No.
They told The Last of Us, and that's an okay story.
There was The Prince of Persia, and that movie was fantastic.
Douglas, you and I like that. It's not the story part. You can't even tell me what happened in that. I bet you $1 million.
Jumped around and went back in time.
So, okay, guys.
And it fell into dust.
All right. This is a great lead-in because what I wanted to talk about, because I think we're done with Midnight Special.
The NBA Finals.
What I wanted to talk about is video games.
Video games.
Right? And more importantly, stories in video games.
Right.
This last weekend...
There was the story in Tetris, which is the best video game ever.
So...
It's a story about killing like-minded people. If you line up everyone in a row, they disappear.
Whenever that one fucker doesn't get in line, he lines.
And that ruins everything. Disrupts the order, the one true order.
God damn it, no, you're making me think of Tetris. Damon, we play video games. Douglas, what? Not so much. Douglas kind of sits over there and he laughs at me for playing video games. Mm-hmm. Some of them have really dumb stories. Some of them have... I've always said this
by
about...
By some, do you mean all of them?
All of them. I've always said this about video game stories, and it might be because of how used we all are to movie tropes and the three-act structure. That video game stories always feel like they're like one act too long, where they're like, we're telling this thing and then we're like, oh, we need like a big boss battle, and they just go for like an extra 5-10 hours and you keep playing and it's weird or not. But there are two games that I was playing this past weekend.
Pilgrim versus the World is a great video game.
I might have finally come around to that. I remember hating that movie
you
for
hated that hard.
A while, but I watched it not so long ago. And went, I think Andrew may have done another
Almost Famous.
Almost Famous. I think that have been what happened.
I like shoved the comics in your face.
Because he gave me the comics and I was like, this comic might be the shittiest shit I've ever seen in my life. And then there was the video game that came out, which was also bad.
I never played the game.
And then this movie, and Andrew just... grinning like an idiot, staring at that movie with nothing
Damon,
but content.
You see Damon, isn't that like the worst? When he's just sitting down there,
just so happy,
just like a pig in fucking shit, and you're just like, you just want like, to slap him.
You just look at him like, why? This is all it takes? Bright lights?
Yeah.
You simple-minded idiot.
Andrew, stop it. Andrew, stop it. There is no laughing in the Batcave, Andrew. Stop it. Oh, that comedy. Oh,
so good.
Anyways, guys, I'm talking about these games.
Right, video games and stories.
The two games I was playing this past weekend. Number one, I finally finished Uncharted 4.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming you haven't touched that.
Waiting for all this nonsense to blow up.
There's nonsense.
Too many people like this game and are saying things like, greatest game of all time.
But they said that with everyone.
No, with every one
of the Uncharted games.
No, 3 didn't get that. 2, they're like, this might be the best action game we've ever played. No one took the next step and then said, fuck all video games. This is it. We finally hit it. The gods, this is the manna from heaven. Like, people are talking about this game as if it cures cancer. I get that it is pretty and it's an uncharted game, but slow your roll, son.
Damien, think about it this way. Andrew, you play this game, right? Mm-hmm.
Is it the best game of all time?
Do you have cancer?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
hey,
it didn't say prevented cancer.
Hey,
do you have cancer beforehand?
I'm
not sure.
The doctor didn't say I
all right. All you know is that you don't have it now. So who's to say that Uncharted didn't do that? Yeah, I just want to give myself some space where when I'm playing it, I'm not looking for the best game of all time. Yeah. I just want to play and enjoy the game. Instead of critiquing every 10 seconds.
Playing the game
seconds.
And being like, really, is this all it takes?
Is this it? And then you treat the internet like you treated Android.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, this is it? This?
Flashy lights.
Pretty graphics?
Sons of bitches. So, yeah, Uncharted 4. Mm-hmm. I have a weird view of Uncharted. I think they're really fun games. And I don't think they're the greatest games of all time. Mainly because what I really love about them is that they are
Uncharted first. Like,
they're
clearly.
They're fun riffs on adventure movies, mm-hmm. like Indiana Jones.
They're basically, they're basically better versions of Indiana Jones. Because you get to play Indiana Jones.
Yeah, and you get to jump all over the place and be unbelievably great.
In this one, he does.
In this one, he does.
Does he get a hat?
No, hat. No. He's never had a hat. Fuck hats.
Fuck this game.
He has guns, though.
He does have guns. And lots of them. Like,
RPGs.
A lot of them.
But he doesn't.
Yeah, but he does have a lot of
anyways,
games.
Guys. And I like these games. They're fun to play around with. And, I mean, one of the things that I've been overly critical about them as they've gone from one to the next is how linear they can be and also how easy they can be with some of their quote-unquote puzzles.
Oh, so you mean it's a game I can play?
Yes, yeah. It's very much a game for you.
Boy, it's a game anyone can.
But I still enjoy the game a lot. Mm-hmm. And
their set pieces are better than most movie set pieces.
Yeah. Number one, I have to give them props. I was expecting, but I didn't. I was surprised that there were no zombies in this one.
Finally.
Like, they didn't just go, here, you finally got there. You did something. Oh, wait, there's zombies. They're coming back to life. And number two, the thing that I love the most about this, and it's really weird for me because this is a non-gameplay thing, is the story as it relates to not just
him
like
and his wife.
To the whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. When the game ends, and I think this hasn't happened to me since Braid, which I know you don't really have a lot of love for, but when that game ended and like they had their big reveal and all of what happened at the end, like I was literally like broken. I was like, oh, holy shit. Like, I didn't know games are just like, things I press buttons and laugh at the fact that my character is still jumping and is dead of heart attack.
You played The Last of Us?
Yes, I did. Okay. That one, love as well, but I saw things coming in that one.
Okay.
Right? And the thing about it is that the end of Uncharted isn't like tragedy or anything. It's just I didn't expect them to do what they did. And they foreshadow it before with like some really early chapters, where it's just low key in the house family moment. But oh, it's just great. But continuing on the storyline, and I messaged you about
this. I know where this is going.
I messaged you about this. Earlier in the week, I installed NBA 2K16, and our favorite director Spike Lee took over the career mode. But here lies the thing.
Yes.
Before we go down the road of blaming Spike Lee, I want to ask about the general idea of forcing a narrative story mode onto sports games.
So they've been doing this for a while.
Because FIFA is about to do it.
Right, but FIFA is late to the party in this regard.
And I mean, I won't see it because I won't play FIFA, but...
Goddamn right. But it's in Frostbite. You can take an AK and shoot Mourinho.
But here lies the thing. Like, I've been playing career modes in things like Pro Evo, in baseball games, in NFL games, all of these games. And the thing is that the closest they get to any form of story is a coach, is a newspaper with them going like, you did well, or you did shitty. And the thing about it is that with sports games, I've always taken solace in just the game part.
Right?
I don't need them to wrap it around in newspapers or anything else where they're creating the narrative that I love to follow with things like the Premier League, where I'm enjoying seeing the back and forth of Jose and Pep,
right?
Or Sir Alex having a tiff against the BBC, or whatever. But the fact that they're creating these stereotyped weird stories for games like NBA or what I imagine is about to happen with FIFA, which, like, I just saw the E3 stuff,
right.
And like from the actor coming out and giving his soliloquy to what the story is, to then the cinematic trailer thing, to whatever the hell, like, I can just tell what's happening with that. And I found it even weirder playing through the NBA 2K16 because I got to the end of the season, and then it turned into the real story mode that I'm used to. Not the story mode, the real career mode, where just play games and train and build up stats and become a better player.
Right.
I have to say, I kind of like the NBA game.
Boy, they know to make a basketball game, man. Give them that.
But, Lord geez, story mode in general, like, that just seems like a bad idea.
All right,
before we get to Spike Lee angle.
So, what I'll say with sports games and story modes, they started out real bad. Like, nightmarishly, hellishly bad. But at a certain point, they started to understand what it is that people kind of wanted. And so last year, the NBA 2K15 did the best job of it, because what they did, they're like, all right, you are this basketball player that wasn't drafted and someone just picked you up, right? And then you play the games and the coaches talk to you and your teammates talk to you. And I didn't realize just how much I was being pulled along by the story mode until actual basketball started. And the team that I play for is a team called the Pelicans, and they have a guy called Eric Gordon. In the game, I hate him the most. Like, the most. And I remember watching a actual Pelicans game, right, and was weirded out for a second because my player wasn't on the court. I'd put in like 5 or so seasons with them. And then I'm like, oh no, damn, man, don't be ridiculous. But getting more and more upset with Eric Gordon for not doing the things that he also doesn't do in the game. Just hatred. I'm like, wait a second. I hate this man not because of what he does on the basketball court, but because of this shitty game that we've invested entirely too much time in. And like XCOM, well, the previous XCOM, the NBA games give you a long time where you're just playing the basketball, and then every 5 or so games they give you some interaction. So you essentially make up your own, it gives you enough time to make up your own story around the things that are happening. That is what Spike Lee took away. You don't get to choose anything, because there's like choices. At the end of the game, they're like, oh, you scored all the points and you had all the assists. What do you think? Was it a team effort? And you can go super negative or super positive. And so at one point I decided, I'm just going to be mean. Like, I don't care what the question is. I'm just going to go super negative.
To see if they actually get out branches.
And try to get back and see how far this goes. And they take it very far. Like, none of my teammates like me. None of my, like, all of the coaches hate me. But I'm so good that they can't drop me. Reporters don't, like, there's a head of PR, she doesn't even talk to me when there's like press conference ones. Like, it's just hatred from ever. I'm like, yeah, this is it. And if you do it enough, they have like specific bonuses that you get, like player bonuses, because like you enrage the other, not only your teammates, but other people who you're guarding, which forces them to take worse shots because you're such an awful person. And so you build up things.
Please tell me they just turn that on from season 2.
No, so that was like 5 seasons. Yeah, no, you can start doing negative things from the first time. Like, you can just be a dick the second you enter the NBA. I did react. I was trying to play it how I thought they wanted, and then I just went, nah, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm just going to be the worst person imaginable. And when sports games give you the opportunity to, like, put in your own stories, because that's basically what we do with Pro Evo, mm-hmm. right? There's barely any story. So you get to put your whatever you think. You're like, oh, this player is so good.
I hate Ronaldo so mm-hmm. much.
But when they take that away...
Steals my goals.
When they take that away and, like, force this story that usually is bad. Video game stories, boy, they're not good.
Hey, but there's Metal Gear Solid. There's Kojima. Kojima knows how to write stories. And he has a new game coming out, which probably won't be out for another 2 years, I'm assuming, at this point.
With a greasy baby.
Doug, yeah. You know what is...
Norman Reedus.
You know what is sad? I remember one time thinking that Metal Gear had a good story. Like, one of them. And the more they made them, and the better the controls became, the more I realized, no, Damien, you don't care about these stories at all. They're just a side effect of this game that you enjoy playing. So by the time 5 came around, which controls like an absolute dream, and I can't imagine myself playing anything else, when they finally said, no, you cannot stay in this open world and don't get any more stories, that is the best game that they've ever built. Boy, he can't tell stories. But we have the Assassin's Creed movie coming out. Mm-hmm. So someone else is taking another crack at this. The same guy that gave us... what was the movie?
Macbeth.
Macbeth.
Oh, the foreign language movie?
I'd like you think that...
He's coming back. With Fassbender and Cotillard,
just like what I said Cotillard about Midnight, yeah, just like what I said about Midnight Special with Michael mm-hmm. Shannon, this is the same deal. Yeah. They went to them and they're like, "We want to do Macbeth." They're like, "Oh, a new sure. upbeat, like retelling mm-hmm. of Macbeth where everyone is young and cool mm-hmm. and modern." Like, no, we want to do the like old school. One. Oh, you mean like set in a period, but you still talk like no, nope. We want to do it like original, mm-hmm. perfect, and it's going to be Scottish. Like 1000% Scottish.
I go, all right, cool. Assassin's Creed movie that I want to make. I will give you basically the drink budget of that film. You make your shitty movie. We'll put it, of course we'll put it up. We'll even make ads for it. Why not? But you have an Assassin's Creed movie to make for me.
You know what's sad? I see the trailer for the Assassin's Creed movie and I just shake my head and say, why didn't they just make a Magneto movie? That movie I would be excited.
Because
about.
No one wants to watch X-Men anymore.
I liked watching...
That X-Men movie was rough.
I liked watching E3 Ubisoft where the guy came out.
If you think about it, think about just the moments with Magneto in it. Uh-huh. Those are great.
Right. Nope. And then you think about the movies.
Nope. Yes. No.
And then you
when he was murdering fools because they had his daughter.
Nope. You go, I want to think about those moments, but instead I'm going to think about the Quicksilver moment. Smile and turn this movie off.
Yep. Damien Cut is 3 minutes long.
It is. Yeah. It is just about saving the people from the house, punching that dude in the face, and just before the sand grabs his ankles, credits. One credit, Damien White. The end.
I liked watching the Ubisoft conference mm-hmm. where the guy came out to talk about the movie, and all the jam bomb people, all they could do was make jokes about falling in hay.
Yep.
And as someone who hasn't played any Assassin's Creed games, I know that. And I want them to do that as a dumb joke.
Have you played Shadows of Mordor?
I've played some of it. I haven't played. I didn't get far in it because I got annoyed.
You should play and more of that game.
I've made a decision that while this is out of commission, yeah, I'm on the PlayStation. Yeah, yeah. So like I'm going to boot back up Metal Gear Solid and see how far I can get through that.
I like XCOM.
But yeah, I just wanted to bring up video game stories and dumb annoying things from Spike Lee that ruined ruined.
Yeah, it's really bad. Because,
like, what I want, more importantly, is I want an option.
Have you seen the end of the story?
I got to the end of the first season, and I assume that's it. That's him. The friend dies.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's
and,
it, yeah.
And after that, it's just a regular career mode.
Right. So that was the most annoying part. But it was a regular career mode, but they stripped out all of the yes-nos and being, like, all of that there.
No,
like,
it's there. I've been playing through, like, the season.
No, but not the same way they did it in the previous one. Because they had to set up.
Because I was literally
frequency
just, like,
vibrations is the guy's nickname.
Like, what I want is I want an option in the game to just turn
sounds
it off.
Sounds like the title of a song by, like, the Groove Nation or something.
Douglas, in the year before, you could set your own nickname. There is an option. Because they give you a big list of things that they'll say. There's an option for Garbage Man. Do you know what my nickname was? And continues to be. Because,
was it the Garbage Man?
Not the Garbage Man. Just Garbage Man. Last night, Garbage Man had a... And you just... every time
also,
I hear it.
Also, I would want to hear Shaq.
Oh yeah, and that was in there either. The post-game.
I don't want to see any of that shit. I don't mind seeing
Andrew
a loading splash screen.
Andrew gets upset. Andrew throws things.
I get upset. And I'm a basketball fan. They're the worst parts of basketball.
Like, I mean, it's comical in a little bit, in a small bit, because I don't watch basketball, where when I see Shaq in there, and I hear Shaq talk, I'm like...
You mean mumble?
Yeah, when I hear mumble, like, there's one bit where they're like, they're talking about physical players, and they're like, Shaq, you were one of the most physical players, and Shaq is like, nope, I was the physical player, and he's like, you're not sorry about apologizing for that, it's like, nope, and I'm like, yeah, that's how I imagine Shaq talking. Right,
and the Shaktos.
But I don't need to see any of that in the game. I just want to play the goddamn game.
Speaking of playing the game, Nintendo put out a new Zelda that looks so pretty that for a second I forgot that I'd have to buy their shitty console to play it, and then this sad realization fell upon me.
You're never going
to
play Zelda.
You'll have to buy their next shitty console in order to play this Zelda.
You can buy the old one if you want.
You're never going to play this Zelda.
Like, I was actually watching a video with someone playing like a full hour of that game, and it looks amazing.
Yeah. It's like Skyrim, but if Skyrim were Zelda, and I went, in fact, no, it's better. It's like The Witcher, but if The Witcher were Zelda, and I went, holy shit. And then,
so it's Zelda, The Witcher of Skyrim?
That's basically what it is.
So this guy...
And then I went, oh shit, I'll have to buy a Nintendo. And then I went, no, I don't.
I was watching the Polygon...
And I'm spending $450 to play a game.
The Polygon video, and what the guy did, like, first up, like, he just turned on the menu, stripped Zelda down to his underwear, started running around his underwear, took out an arrow, lit the arrow on fire, shot it up in the air, saw an area, lit on fire, went over there, lit up a club... Went, found some enemies, threw the club at them, not knowing what was going to happen. The club lit their clubs on fire, and the enemies came after him, running away like I'm and I'm like, that looks like a game I would enjoy.
It's a game that I want.
Because all of that was not planned.
I mean, that's basically what I do with The Witcher. Strip him down to no clothes, just underwear, and a stupid bunny ears mask. And just go outside and punch the first person that I see. And then bad things happen.
Anyways, let's stop talking about video games.
Video games.
Is there anything else you guys want to talk about?
Andrew, at some point this summer, sports will stop.
No.
I'm going to be sad. It'll be after the Olympics. It's still months and months away. But it'll be after the Olympics.
The Olympics have sport. Oh, yes, there is football in the Olympics.
Okay. There's track and field.
Sorry, sports?
There's track. The track.
Sports? Please don't fight,
and then
guys.
There's field.
Sports?
Yes, sports.
What sports are we talking about?
You know who's the most famous man in the world? Not Messi.
Tom Cruise?
Nope.
Neymar?
Mm-mm.
Ryan Giggs?
His name is Usain Bolt. We call him Usain.
Number five on England.
What's number five on England?
Rio Ferdinand.
My name is Rio. And I'll never win anything. I'd love to say I have topics, but I've been watching sports. Like, this is the one movie I've seen. No, I saw Warcraft. Barely, because I was checking sports scores the entire time. I was in the first one. It was in the big theater, though, which is weird. I didn't
what, think. Warcraft?
Yeah.
Was in we saw it in too. The big...
Yeah, I figured it would be.
No.
It has big action and the 3D. They assume it might work.
It has Warcraft.
They don't know what that's a video game.
Alright, fine. Alright, cool. Fair point.
Yeah. So, I want to talk boy, about it was something empty. Today.
Yes. What's that?
Last night, I officially unfolded my arms.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I opened my arms.
My arms are wide open to stand up. Apparently, apparently, Damien has said that I don't like comedy.
But it's true.
Like yeah, the evidence is way. It's but evident I in my watched favor.
Comedy last night and I liked it. I liked it. Mm-hmm. I say.
Right.
Aziz Ansari.
Real funny. Yeah, it's an outlier. That proves
the rule. So far now you have Jim Jeffries, mm-hmm. Bill
yes,
Burr,
yes.
Aziz Ansari,
yes.
And you have Jimmy Carr.
Yes.
Anyone else?
Bill Burr.
I said that already. Right.
He gets two.
Alright, fine.
I listen to him now on a podcast on a weekly basis, so he gets another.
I mean, by that metric, then we should put Jimmy Carr as two as well.
Oh, yes. And he's and been killing why can't, for like and 10, Eddie Izzard. 15 years. And, is, oh, and Eddie Izzard, Izzard, so that's five.
I love right? Eddie Izzard.
That's it.
Well, I mean, if we want to go deep, I like Peter Wright as well. Is it Peter Wright? Yeah.
Don't you like Patton Oswalt? I don't know. Stop where you are. I don't want to hear him.
I like him.
No. Nope.
Hear what?
I don't want to
I
hear
I don't
it.
Like him to the level that Andrew likes him. And so, I think.
And because Andrew likes
maybe,
him.
Yeah. I think oh, it's actually right, maybe cool. An issue where Andrew likes him a little too much.
Cool. But he makes Green Lantern jokes.
You know what it is, too? I really like him when he's being dumb, like in a supporting role on TV or something like that. But when he's doing stand up. It's not that I dislike what he's doing. It's just
comic book.
As special as the whole world seems to think it is.
You should listen to some of his older stuff.
Yeah, probably.
Werewolves and Lollipops. It's that's pretty my good. Favorite.
No. No.
Because I will forever love...
Like,
I'll forever love that Star Trek story.
I played a Brian Regan stand-up special to Douglas... And watch him stare at it as if it was two ducks swimming in a pond.
Remember, my arms so were much folded at the time.
Right?
If I unfold my arms,
he's
then perhaps.
So bad at this.
Who is Brian Regan? Which one
go
is Brian
fuck
Regan?
Yourself.
Which one? Which one is Brian Regan? No.
Right? Don't talk to me.
Listen. Was he the one, the tall, skinny one
Douglas,
in the blue suit? Is that
no,
the one?
Douglas, at this point, you remember years and years ago when I did listen to real music?
Yeah,
and you people, like when the words came out of my mouth, you just ignore everything I said.
Yeah.
That's basically what I did to you, right?
Comedy?
That's
essentially. Comedy.
Right. When you talk, I just hear...
I'd like to say someone messaged me after I posted the Keanu episode and said he'd never heard the Go Down On Your Women sketch from Key & Peele.
Love that sketch!
That was the intro audio to the episode.
Go down on the...
Anyways, with that, we're going to say goodnight. Because Douglas, you don't have anything to talk about.
Brian Joseph Regan is an American stand-up comedian.
Yeah.
Please stop talking.
Observational,
please stop talking.
Sarcastic and self-deprecating.